I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Okay, it is the end of 2020, and what better way to look at back and forward right now with friend Dave Radigan, comedian, educator, and usually looks at things with just a little bit different lens. Dave, welcome back.
Thank you.
Listen, I don't know where to start here, because at the one time, we're in a very, in my mind, I am in a very close to depressed state of mind, close to a real depression. But on the other hand, I'm really optimistic about what's coming up in the next few months, especially with the advent of the vaccine. You have been teaching remotely, and I'm gathering doing your comedy remotely. So how are things standing with you, Dave?
Things couldn't be worse.
Okay.
They weren't that bad about 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, although I got to tell you, 3 weeks ago, four and five, we I'm trying to think, probably going back to just before Thanksgiving, a lot of my students, relatively, had, you know, a lot of pandemic-related things, but also a lot of kids got COVID.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, I find that's where there'll still be people repeating, oh, you know, you can't get COVID if you're young. Well, you know, you can. And that's the way most pandemics go, and that's what's happened. So, yeah, things have been miserable. And I hate to say it, Rick, but I have predictions for 2021. I have only a couple, but they're just, it's more doom and gloom. More doom and gloom.
Well, I was feeling pretty good, so why not drag me down? I think this would be a good time to do that. And, you know, with the end of the, it's sunny outside, so I can go walk it off. But what do you have in mind?
Did you have a nice socially remote virtual New virtual? I was going to say virtual New Year's. Did you have a nice virtual Christmas?
It's interesting. I was reading. One of the things I've done a lot is go on, go on websites and check out the news. I read 5-6 newspapers a day, and you read about all the people who were warned not to go and they went. But I have found in my little sphere of culture, family-wise and friend-wise and so on, especially here on Cape Ann, almost everybody I know, Dave, are adhering to the suggestions to stay home and keep it local. So we just had, ordinarily, Christmas Eve, we have a lot of people over and family, and then Christmas Day, we go to another family member's. We didn't do that. We just stayed home on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. It was strange. It was strange, to say the least, because I found myself looking backwards and looking forward and just saying, okay, you know, let's get this thing over with here. So, you know, it was safe, it was quiet, but I guess the point is, on Cape Ann, I don't know a lot of people, who I know, who actually, broke the quarantine, if you will, and got out. So it was very quiet. How about on your end of things?
Yeah, same here. I mean, it was, I saw people only by, well, I saw my daughter midway through the day. I picked up my daughter. Mostly I just hung in and watched TV.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was miserable out, as you recall, because of the weather.
Yeah.
So, and we did a Zoom call, and that lasted an hour, and we, you know, did gifts and all that over the Zoom. And I realized that, I really like only seeing my family for an hour. I mean, what a break. I didn't be anywhere on time. I didn't have to listen to people complain that I was late. I didn't have to buy as many gifts. I didn't have to decorate. It was great.
Well, yeah, it's an awakening, isn't it? You don't have all those deflections and deterrents. I found myself getting mad at cable TV and the networks, because all they were showing was reruns. And it's like, you know, don't you guys understand we're stuck in the house here? So that, you know, I had to find a book to read. So, you know.
Yeah, nobody likes to read. Nobody likes to read. That's the worst. Did somebody post on Facebook, how many books have you read this year? You know, my girlfriend's read 100. And I just wrote, I've read 101. And my favorite was War and Peace. Nobody wants to read. That's like doing math.
Well, I got one. My daughter has been working remotely from home. She goes to school in Drexel, and my wife and I, we are pretty avid readers, as most educators continue to be. Although I do love my Kindle. I don't have to leave my office to get a new book. So we were asking her, Caitlin, do you read for pleasure? Cause she's a biomedical engineering major. She's, just overwhelmed, not overwhelmed, but inundated with science and math courses. And she, without missing a beat and without tongue in cheek, she said, you know, I read Plato's Republic again last night. So that's where we are. That's where we are, man.
That's funny. Oh. Let me ask you this. If you've got a Kindle, all right, if you read everything via Kindle, how do you impress people when they come over to your house if they can't see what's on your bookshelf?
I know. That's a great question. What I'm thinking of doing, you ever see these digital viewers where you put your photographs in there and they rotate like 200 or 300 at a time? It's a little device.
Yep.
So I'm thinking of doing that. I'll put my book titles on there, and when people come in, you know, just rotate those.
That's not a bad idea.
What else can you do?
Not a bad idea. Or you could just print phony diplomas
and stick those on the wall.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my doctor does that. I'm not sure. He's either really, really accomplished or just a total fraud.
I know. And how do you research that? Well, that's interesting. Never thought of that.
I guess you could Google it, but you know, you can write anything on a LinkedIn page.
Well, that's true. Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, and you know, the whole thing is so bizarre. And like you were saying, you know, we did a short Zoom thing too. And you know what I want to ask you? This is just totally off the cuff, but when I'm doing a Zoom interview, if I'm talking with three or four other people, or even two other people, or maybe even one, if I've got the split screen up there, I end up looking at myself. And you were talking last time about looking into the lens, into the camera itself. So when you're doing a program or you're talking to other people, if you're doing, well, for example, we're going to talk in a little while about the virtual New Year's Eve show. Is the audience all up there in these little tiny pictures?
The audience, it depends on how they, you know, you've got a couple of options with Zoom. One shows just the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
One shows not exactly the end, but one of them does the Hollywood Squares thing where you see all the little pictures, little pictures. I know Tony Robbins has done his, and he's got a whole different setup, but he's got a setup. Tony Robbins is the famous speaker, motivational speaker, and mm-hmm. he'll do one where you see him on the screen, and he has got banks of television screens. All with checkerboards full of people who were in the audience.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the audience just doesn't show up. Sort of like in the classroom. I have 26 students, and you know, I might see five rows of five, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So I might be 25, but if I have 29, there'll be a row that doesn't get in. Something like that.
Yeah.
I used to know what the numbers were, but it depends on how you do it. A lot of times. And it kind of depends on there's actually a producer for a lot of these shows.
Okay.
And the producer will basically just have the speaker. But what happens with online comedy shows, this is actually pretty good. I love this story. I'm sorry if I told it before, but, did I say about my friend who was on the online, he was doing the virtual show and he's killing. And then all of a sudden there's one person who didn't like him. And that person turns to the wife and says, I don't think he's funny. that guy showed up on the screen, and that comment comes across just as loudly as anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And it flashed on the screen, and then it was gone, and my friend had no response. And
oh, that's a killer. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
No. Well, it's a new thing for you. And I'm also wondering, how do I ask this question? Are you taking notes on and compiling information about this year in particular to use in the future? Because I'm thinking that there's going to be a lot of material here that you can use probably for the next decade about this last 9 months alone.
I think there is, and I think that there's going to be. I think there's going to be a lot of the same things in the probably at a certain point, we're going to be laughing about COVID. Right now, there's a certain dark humor to it.
Right.
And I think you'll hear that once we get the vaccine distributed and we get people going out to clubs and all that. But I think there is a, you know, what I find is if I go too much with it, the last stop, and I don't know if it's because I'm, you know, it's too soon or if the jokes just aren't that good. Either one.
Yeah, yeah.
A possibility. Well, but I think you're going to find a lot of people will be doing the same jokes because we're going to have the same thought.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think there will be a lot of things, and I think there'll be some unique things that come out of it. You know, people find certain relationships and certain problems that they didn't really think that they had or that they don't have anymore. Because the change in perspective, I think some people are going to hook on to changes in perspective or changes in relationship, and they're going to come up with some really good bits out of it. But at the end of the day, comedy is all about the human condition. So
you and Bill, when this thing first started, you and Bill Newell were talking about wearing the masks in public and so on, and I've just found myself getting angry at myself for getting angry at other people who aren't wearing masks when you're outdoors. And it's like, why am I doing this? Just walk away from these people. You know, they have a right to be outside to breathe. But it's like a feedback loop. It's like a tiger eating my tail. I'm angry because I have to wear a mask, but I'm wearing the mask. And then I get angry at the people who aren't because they're not. So I don't know.
I'll tell you the other thing. I find that I get if I'm out walking, I see some people out there with the mask on all the time. If I'm out walking and there's nobody around me, or if it's just my daughter and I take the mask off.
Right.
Because I'm thinking there's nothing there that there could be it's not going to happen. I'm not going to give anybody the COVID if I do have it. And I'm not going to catch it from anybody because we're out. But then somebody walks the other way and they put their mask on. And it's very funny because it's almost like I always feel there's a little appreciation.
Yes.
You see somebody walk. I'm walking one way. They're walking the other way. They put the mask on. I think that's a nice little, that's nice.
Agreed.
It's a nice thing they're doing. It's an accommodation. It's we're all in this together. Blah blah blah.
Hmm.
I'm always tempted. I see people. You know, kids on bikes is a big one.
Yep.
And I just, you know, it kind of irks me. But you know, what can you? The big thing I notice is the retail clerks and the waiters and the waitresses. It's really the burden on them. And I know that the burden on frontline workers is worse.
Right.
I don't get to see that on a regular basis, thankfully. But I do see occasionally see the retail workers and those are the people I feel really badly for, because I know that they can't be doing that well economically. And there's got to be a lot of stress and strain on them in their personal lives, and then they come to work and they have people who blame them for policies that aren't their fault.
Right, right. That's a good point.
And,
yep.
And I'll say this, they're also science-based policies, and you can argue about the science-based or not, but I'll stay with the public health people on this because they actually were paying attention in class. But you know, you see people taking their anger out in the wrong places, and I get it, because you know I get the tension and the anxiety that people have, but I think all of us have got to take that count to 10, which I know these days with calculators it's really hard for some people.
All right, listen, you're talking to a math teacher who wouldn't allow calculators in class except in a calc class, so you know. Okay. Well, Dave, let's turn our attention to the future. People, I think, are beginning to get optimistic. We're continuing to be patient.
Yeah. There's no need for that. There's no need for optimism.
Okay.
I have three predictions for next year. One of them is actually starting now. The vaccine is out. You're hearing some people, we don't know what the side effects are. It's dangerous. You're not going to take that vaccine, are you? And of course they line up the politicians to jump in front of the medical. And I do know, by the way, there are medical people getting it now. Mm-hmm. I know some people who have. So that's good. But they've also got politicians that are jumping the line. And, it's controversial, and the people on one side say, well, they're showing everybody that it's safe and they're serving as examples, you know, even a lot of these politicians who were saying a week ago, you know, still saying it's a hoax and don't wear your mask, are now getting the shot. And anyway, so here's my first prediction is it turns out that the people saying their side effects are correct, and politicians start acting like chickens and clucking and walking around as if they're in a barnyard. And I don't want you to look too deeply into that prediction, because then you'll be thinking, well, what about the doctors and nurses? And that's horrible.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Well, imagine that it's politicians, and we'll just go with that.
Okay.
if they're clucking and they're saying nonsense, how are we going to know that there's actually a
side effect? Yeah. That's a good point. Oh, good.
And my second one is equally awful. Joe Biden, for his inauguration, not only his inauguration, not as big as Donald Trump's, which was, as you know, the largest inauguration crowd in the history of 2017. Mm-hmm. But it was also anyway. So Biden concerned about both the cold day and about COVID. He elects. He doesn't want pneumonia. He doesn't want COVID. So he just has his whole inauguration from his basement, the same place that he ran his campaign from. And the bad news is, 30 days later, he dies from radon poisoning.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, okay. You're right. Those are pretty bad predictions, although the chicken one is not too bad.
Those are pretty bad. Well, if you don't think it through, the first one's not that bad, the idea of a bunch of... anyway... But let me go to my and I got a local prediction.
Okay, let me ask you first, and I think this is tied into that. We're seeing, and I don't know if you have a prediction about it, but we're seeing teams, including local teams, who are thinking about changing high school teams about changing their mascots' names because they might be offensive to people, in particular going back to Indigenous people. And you know, for example, Masconometer, the Chieftains, and they're thinking about changing their name. Amesbury are the Indians. They're thinking about changing their name. Of course, at the pro level, Cleveland Indians, they're definitely changing their name, and so on and so on. So what do you think's going to happen?
Masconometer was a chieftain.
Yeah.
I mean, Masconometer was a chieftain.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was a fairly respectful and they treated his memory with respect.
Yeah. I thought UMass, when I was at UMass, we were the Red Men, and Red Men, you know, sort of to me like being, and I don't want to be offensive, but, you know, if you're a black person, you're a black person and proud of it. It wasn't Redskins, which is a completely different connotation about, scalping. But, and I thought that was in honor of Massasoit, but, you know, local tribes didn't like it, and I think, again, UMass did the right thing in assenting to that, and, but I don't know. I don't know if that's there's a move afoot anyway, Dave, about changing mascot names.
Yeah, there is a move. That's my third prediction. My third prediction is the local one that is going to change next year is Manchester Essex Regional High School, and they currently the Hornets. They become the Murder Hornets. Yeah, it'll be
the Murder Hornets.
T-shirt sales will go through the roof.
Oh God. You don't think anybody will complain about that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so, but I'm the one with the prediction about the politician clucking like chickens.
Okay.
So clearly I'm not thinking it through all that much. Who'd want to ever play the Murder Hornets? I
mean, that's right.
Just a thought of it.
Not only that, but just looking at the mascot. Lordy mercy. God. Okay. Well, those are good, and we'll, I'm probably not going to hold you to those, Dave, but I might, you know, so we'll see.
We'll see about that. If the Green Hornets don't become the Murder Hornets, just don't hold that again.
Okay, all right. Okay, the reason for this entire get-together today is it is New Year's coming up, and it's been a very tough time, Dave, in all seriousness, for comedians and for fundraising. You mentioned that last time we talked how difficult it has been. But you have put together, through Scamps Comedy Productions, a big shoe, remote show or virtual show coming up at the Gloucester, I'm not at the Gloucester Rotary Club, but, aligned.
For the, But that, what we're doing is, this is for the Gloucester Rotary Club, but it's also for about however many weeks ago, we were planning to try to find something to do for New Year's Eve. At that point, we could allow small crowds into venues, and we thought, well, why don't we just do three or four shows in these smaller theaters, and which is where I usually do shows on New Year's Eve, and we'll broadcast them virtually, so mm-hmm. people can watch shows with people in attendance and people in their living rooms, and we'll just do the live shows. And then the governor cut back the numbers of crowds again, and we just thought, well, that's not going to work. And so we were looking for something else as an option, and I was talking to an engineer, a producer who works with a comedy studio, Eli Levy, and Eli had this great idea to just do it virtually and do it with the comedy studio. So the comedy studio, which for years was in Harvard Square, now it's in Somerville and Union Square, they've been doing virtual shows all along. They do a really nice job of the virtual shows, the setup and everything else. And so what we've done is I contacted a couple of nonprofit theaters where we were planning to do shows, one in Kituat, the Kituat Center of the Arts, MMAS, which is Mass Music and Arts Society in Mansfield. And then I thought, well, why not try a few of my fundraising clients and see if they're interested. And so I reached out to Ruth Pino, and we did the Gloucester Rotary Show with, and we didn't get to do the Gloucester Rotary Show. And they thought it was a great idea to offer to the community. And obviously a lot of the money will go back to the Rotary Club, and the Rotary Club then will distribute it to local charities, which, as you know, is something that the Rotary does, along with some other organizations, some Lions and Kiwanis and all that. And they do an awful lot of good. They do an awful lot of good throughout the year. And obviously with they're continuing to try to raise some funds but really it's more just a thing for the community and people who've got nothing to do on New Year's Eve, and they're going to stay home and they're going to have a nice meal. But, you know, this will give them something to do for an hour and 15 minutes in the course of the evening. So hopefully it's going to be a lot of fun for people. And basically by getting, the five groups, the Elm Draft Cinema Pub, the Elm Draft House Cinema in Millbury is also going to be offering this to people, because they're not going to be open that night. But they're all just kind of offering entertainment for people, for their community of supporters. And so anybody who's interested in buying tickets can go to the Gloucester Rotary website, which is, I think, gloucesterrotary.org. I think the club name is actually the Rotary Club of Greater Gloucester or something like that. But it's gloucesterrotary.org. They can buy tickets there. We have two shows, one at 7 and one at 9, and it's $20, and it's a good deal, and it's going to have 8 comedians, some from the comedy studio, some from the Scamp Stables. We're all going to get together and do a show, and a lot of people doing short sets, and a lot of very funny people, all ages, really from 20-something-year-olds to, I think we have one guy in the early show who's actually I think he's probably in his 80s. I hope I'm not making him older than he is, but his name's Peter Bowers. He's a really funny guy, former college professor who's become a comedian, and he'll be on the early show. Same lineup for both shows, but Peter's only going to do the early one because he's got to go to bed at 8.
Okay.
And it should be a lot of fun. So thanks for allowing me to get that plug in there.
Oh, no, absolutely. And you got quite a lineup. I'm going to link to all of that, Dave. So all the there's a Rotary on the Rotary site. They have quick blurbs on each of the artists who are going to be performing. And we're going to link to all of that and make sure that the information gets out there. And I think it looks like just a great way to kill an hour or so, as you say, on New Year's Eve and get some laughs.
Yeah, and they're really good. I mean, there's Steve Bjork's on, who's a great comedian. Bethany Van Delft, who was the Boston Magazine comedian, best of Boston comedian for actually 2 years running. I didn't realize she got 2019 and 2020. It's fantastic group of comedians, and there's something for everybody. And the nice thing about this format is it's, you know, every 5, every 7 minutes, we switch to another comedian. So
excellent. All right, Dave, we've got to do this in another couple of weeks. Good Lord willing, and the crick don't rise and all that stuff. But in the meantime, let's get through this week, I guess, and good luck on Thursday night.
All right. Yep. Thanks very much, Rick, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. That's Dave Radigan. This is MSO News 4.
This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.